Welcome to the ATL Podcast Network.
I'm Anissa.
And I'm Ellen.
And this is Raw. For those of you who are not Rawyers, that's our tribe.
We get real, we get raw.
Yeah. Yeah. Our thing is like no filter ever, unless it's Snapchat.
We're one take whores.
Yeah. And I'm wondering about the one take with the podcast. Boy, that'd be really interesting.
I love that. Listen, it's one take always, yeah, baby. One take always.
It is. You always know. You never know what you're going to get, but you can always trust that what you get is going to be real.
That's it. That's it in a nutshell right there. Yeah. We're done. Drop the mic. Hi, everybody. It's Ellen.
It's Anissa.
And what is this?
It's Anissa and Ellen.
We're giddy today, aren't we?
I am giddy. I'm giddy and a little, not out of sorts is not the right word, but I'm a little feeling my way because it's the first time we've ever had someone on the podcast that we both don't, you just met her five minutes ago. So this is new territory.
Plus she's a health coach.
Yep.
You're a life coach. You're mm-hmm. a health coach. So it's nice to get somebody else's perspective.
For sure.
So,
and that doesn't know you as well. Yeah. And she's a yoga teacher.
She's awesome.
Which, you know what's so funny? That is something neither of us teach.
No.
We don't yoga.
I do need to yoga, though.
I need to yoga bad.
Yoga is good.
Yeah. And you know what? With all of my issues that I've been having the last year or so, that's like the number one thing everybody's told me. Mm-hmm. Do yoga and meditate. Start to meditate. Yeah. The two hardest things for me to do, but I'm going to do them. So you want to introduce her a little bit?
Yes. So we have, oh my gosh, and you're totally going to, because I'm probably going to butcher the last name, but it's like the most beautiful looking word. Natalie Benaz?
It's close.
What is it? How do you
well,
say it?
Well, we say Benaz, like Benaz.
Okay, yeah.
But Benaz. In Polish, it's Beniaz. So that's where all the extra letters come.
That's beautiful.
And Natalie and I met, we were just talking about it as we were walking up. It was 2016 mm-hmm. was when we both attended Emory's health coach certification, and that's where we met. Mm-hmm. And there was like a trio of us. It was, and Aaron as well. So there was like, and Madison, mm-hmm. and you and I kind of clicked.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because when I decided, you know, I was at that, what felt like the never ending crossroads of mm-hmm. where I was going to land, what I was going to do. I was still teaching kindergarten at that time. And I remember getting either an email or something in the mail that I actually looked at about continuing education at Emory. And I looked mm-hmm. and I read the description of the health coach. I had no idea what it was. And yet I was like, oh yeah, I'll throw $3,000 at that because it's Emory and it sounds really interesting. And, you know, and I don't know about you, but when I went into that and then we had the MBSR part of it, like I felt like I had landed somewhere that I was always meant to be when I walked mm-hmm. into that room, and it was nothing that I expected it to be, but it kind of set me back on the course, quite frankly, of my kind of practice and spiritual life, mm-hmm. because I think I had kind of strayed, and for whatever reason, all of the listening that we learned to do and all of that just brought me, I think too, in meeting you ladies, just brought me back to a place of really feeling centered in myself. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's where we met.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. So let's let Natalie tell us about
herself.
Yeah, can
we do that? Could Anissa shut up and let her talk? I mean, good God.
You're good.
okay. What do you want to know?
Tell us about you.
My name is Natalie. I am a multifaceted human being, like we all are, right? Mm-hmm. For the last 10 years, I've been teaching yoga, doing energy work, mm-hmm. and coaching. And I started coaching before we went through our health coaching certification because I had trained with the Enneagram Institute for 5 years mm-hmm. and learned a lot about interpersonal psychology. And so I was coaching people in a way before that. So I've been doing that for the last 10 years. And prior to that, for 15 years, I was in advertising. I was in marketing, climbing the corporate ladder, like totally different than I am now in terms of looks and the way I showed up in the world. Gosh, I don't even know. I hadn't even thought about what I wanted to say about myself. you know, when I say multifaceted, I feel like Anissa and I were talking about this on the way in. I'm at another kind of jumping off point right now. It's the 10 years I've been in this certain sphere of health and wellness, and I feel like there's something else calling me forward right now. So I, like many other people, I think I'm still trying to figure out who I'm going to be when I grow up.
I love that.
Yeah.
So Anissa's been telling me about you for weeks, and she wanted you to come on the podcast. And I was like, great. I love it. She sounds amazeballs. So she directed me to your Instagram page. And I completely believe that when you need something from the universe,
yes,
if you ask for it, it comes to you. And it comes to you. It could be a song. It could be a person. It could be whatever.
Yeah.
You could be scrolling through Barnes and Nobles and this title, you know, pops out. So last night I was scrolling through your Instagram page, and the first thing that I, because I didn't do your last post. Like normally, you know, you just do the last post. I just kind of looked through your photos, and I loved the setup. You know, it's got you alternate between like photos of yourself and like landscapes, and so I just clicked on one, and I'm gonna read what you wrote, and it is exactly what I needed. And I think Anissa, like Anissa's face is, she's, if you could see the smile on her face. So I commented on it and I tagged Anissa. I was like this. So I'm going to read this really quickly. And Natalie's Instagram page is called Laughing Heart Healing. It's amazing what she says on here. But so this is the thing that I read last night. Want to make a change, put healthier practices into place, shift careers, become a better yoga teacher, get serious about your side gig, step away from old relationships, or maybe there is something so radical calling you're scared to even speak it aloud. Coaching helps you to see the ways you're getting in your way, establish clear goals and desires, get unstuck through specific action plans, build self-confidence through taking said actions, plus live joyfully in deeper alignment with your truth. And this is the thing that really spoke to me. She writes, I don't tell you what to do. I guide you, plus hold space for you to uncover your own depths of wisdom. You have an inner compass that knows the way. And I loved that. I think most people think health coaches, you go to them with a problem and they say, here are five steps, go home, do these five steps. Right. And Anissa always tells me, no, we're here to help you and guide you. Maybe have you direct you to look at things in a different way, but we help you to figure out what it is that you need to progress on your path, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So that was like, it just hit me in the face, like, boom. It's like the universe was like, ha, here it is. Here she is. This is her. And so I loved it so much. Like I tagged you on it. So, you know, with, I said health coach, you said life coach. So what's the difference between the two?
Well, you know, there's so many different types of coaches out there right now. And I think it's what you decide to call yourself. I find when we went through the health coaching at Emory, a lot of what it was geared towards was kind of working with people maybe that are in the corporate setting that are still smoking two packs of cigarettes a day or, you know, I mean, more on just their health choices, you know, which I that is in my scope, you know, I work with people with that, but I tend to work with people in uncovering the reasoning underneath, you know, why are you smoking two packs of cigarettes, you know, a day or things like that. Like I tend to work with people more with, just taking steps in their lives towards those things that they're terrified to even speak aloud, you know? And I think especially for women, a lot of times we have these things that we're, it's like some things bubble up from inside of us instead of like us having this goal or this plan, you know, it's like, I feel uncomfortable. There's something moving, like what's going on. And it's like this excavation process. And I find that what I do is help other people see things that are coming out of their mouth that are gold, that they don't even realize they're saying, you know, it's just by reflecting back to them. And then they're like, wow, that's so brilliant. And I'm like, well, you just said that, you know,
Yes. Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Yes. And that's like the part with the inner wisdom and stuff like that, that you just, when you're coaching or when you're being coached, because I actually during during our, when we were getting certified, we had to practice on each other. Mm-hmm. And when I would get coached by Natalie, it is exactly that, where, you know, you're just telling your truth, mm-hmm. of in the moment, how you're feeling or where you're stuck. And you just, you have someone that's actually listening, first mm-hmm. of all, and not giving their mm-hmm. own two cents, which that in of itself mm-hmm. is worth the money.
Right. I mean, that's yeah. so healing.
I agree. To alone. Have someone yeah. just shut their mouths mm-hmm. and not tell you what to do. Well, mm-hmm. I did this. I, this worked for me.
Or why I didn't think you try? Good you girl. Should.
How right. often have you heard? All you got to do is this, Ellen. Why don't you just do this, Ellen? This is how you heal your gut, Ellen. This is how you should do. This is what you should do.
Right.
Instead of just opening the door and leaving it open.
Right.
And let people just explore on their own.
Yeah. And it's a different way, I think, of being like, and this is where I have struggled. I mean, it's hard. Sometimes it's very hard for me to promote myself, which I think, you know, it's very easy for me to get on board with something and promote other things, but to promote myself has always been a little bit of a sticky sort of situation. And I am not somebody who comes out and says, this is exactly the way that you should go, because I think everybody's like a little chemistry set and we have to add a little bit of this and take away a little bit of that. And it's such an individual process that I can't claim to know what's best for somebody. And I have a hard time sometimes promoting that, you know, because it's like a lot of times in our culture, people want the quick fix. They want the pill. They want just tell me what to do, you know, and that's not what I do.
I think also that buy-in comes with taking part in it and taking ownership in it yeah. as well. So if you can work with somebody to come up with what you need for yourself, mm-hmm. I said it on the last podcast that we did where it was just the two of us. I am struggling with trying to take those steps to get myself to become healthier, because I don't have 100% complete buy-in in it, because right. I've had so many people talking in my ear, you should do this, and mm-hmm. this is what we think, and this is what's going on. And so until I can get a clearer picture of that, which works so much better. It's just like, you know, for example, when you started working with me, there were a lot of things that I said, I'm not even going to go over this with you because until it comes up, because you're going to retain the information. You're going to learn from it a lot easier if we work through it together when it comes up. You can take notes all you want, mm-hmm. but you're never going to remember it when it comes up, unless we just walk through it.
Until it's meaningful, mm-hmm. until there's a purpose yeah. for you having mm-hmm. that information. And I actually think that's how, like you use the word compass. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that's how your inner compass works. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're not yeah. given what you need to pay attention to until it's time to pay attention
right.
to it.
It's we're not given, and this is what I find in my own life. You know, it's like I only teach or talk about really what I've been finding myself. It's like I used to believe or subscribe to or think that I needed to have a plan 10 steps down the road and know where I was going and be really clear about it. But you're right. It's like the universe gives you the next step. And mm-hmm. then it says you need to be brave enough to take this next step. And then when you take that next step on blind faith a lot of times, then the next one's revealed mm-hmm. and the next one's revealed. Yeah. And in that inner guide that you're talking about, that mm-hmm. compass, it's like so much. It's so much quieter than the outside noise of the world. And so you have to like create some space in whatever way that is for you, whether it's meditation or yoga or mm-hmm. fitness or being in nature, or I mean, just turning off the news, whatever it is, you have to create some space to be able to hear the voice, because the voice is so much, it comes in such a different way than all of the clamor that's coming from the outside, I feel like.
Can you speak a little bit to, because I also think that everybody's comes to them in a different way.
Yeah.
Like, how does your, how does that, even if you have a name for it, I mean, I don't know,
yeah.
but how does that speak for you?
So, it comes to me in some different ways. It's an inner knowing, like, it's just I don't even know how else to explain it. It's just like a direct inner knowing. Like many times there will be a voice in my head that will say like one word, and that word might come up like several times over the next few days if I'm not listening to it. But when I hear that word, it's not like this urgency or like this super frenetic energy. It's like, go do this, you know, like very, very simple. And it'll just say it over and over again until I really take note, if I'm not taking note. And then when I do take note, it's like, I just feel, yeah, that, yes, I have to, that's kind of the directive from my soul, you know? For some people, I mean, they hear a lot more. For some people, it's a certain feeling in their body. You know, mm-hmm. for me, it does tend to be either around my heart or kind of around my belly. Sometimes I can feel like something moving right there, like that just feels yummy, you know? And I think, yeah, for each person, it can be very different. You know, it can be signs. You know, sometimes I see, you know, like one day I was driving a couple weeks ago, I was driving down the road and it was like every billboard I saw, I was feeling kind of down. And every billboard I saw, I swear, was like, you got this, you know, power to you. Or I mean, it was just like, I was like, were those billboards there before?
You never saw
them right there for me.
Right?
I
was
love
like,
that.
Thank you, you know. But I do think synchronicity is a good, can be a good indicator. Although our brains filter, you know, based on our belief systems. So, you know, we can, in essence, create things that we want. And we just have to check in to make sure where it's coming from, where we're being guided from. Because ego can guide a lot, you know.
I think that I'm finding, especially yesterday and today. So Anissa and I were talking earlier. I felt like yesterday, not so much today, but yesterday was just full of negative energy. You know how you have those days where it's just so, like, I felt like it was chaotic. Everything around me and everything at work and everything going on was just chaos. So I actually listened to a couple of our podcasts last night. I was telling Anissa and Brian because I went home after I taught class and I just was over the whole day and I just needed quiet, like some quiet space or just space where I could just be, where I didn't have to talk to anybody or text anybody or, you know, my poor husband. So I laid down and I listened to a couple of our podcasts because, believe it or not, like listening to Anissa's voice sometimes and just the folks that we've had on, I felt so much better. I slept pretty good. And then this morning I just felt I needed the quiet. So even though I'm at work, you and I didn't talk until it was like almost 3 o'clock. So I know that I need meditation. Like I know that that would help me greatly. I'm just so used to a frenetic fast pace.
Yeah.
I got to readjust that.
Well, a couple things I want to say about what you were just saying. First off, I can totally imagine that listening to the two of you on your podcast was soothing for you because you both have very, I think our voices, regardless of what we're saying, carries energy. Of course, it's a vibration that's coming out, you know, and you both have very like healing tones in your voices, you know, and I find this like when I teach a yoga class, when I'm feeling super frenetic, and maybe you feel this sometimes when you teach, it's like, I go to teach the class and I walk in and I'm just like scattered. And when teaching, I calm myself down with my own voice, but I feel the same thing happens for other people. I mean, many people. So that's one thing. Another thing I was going to say is meditation. So what most people think meditation is, I mean, there's many different types of meditation and I know you know this, but, I've been meditating for 10 years and I meditate in a transcendental type of meditation. It's not TM, but it's a type. You have a mantra. It's given to you by a lineage, you know, and it's passed on through a ceremony of initiation. And I use it, twice a day, a little over 20 minutes now. And, it is hands down changed my life. I would say the most out of all my practices, and it is my non-negotiable. Like, but the thing is about meditation, it's like we think we have to quiet the mind, but the mind is meant to chatter, 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 right? So it's like no matter what type of meditation you're doing, instead of trying to beat your mind silent, you know, or tell yourself that you're bad at it or anything like that, the training is whatever you're using for as a tool, whether it's a mantra or the breath or a sound, like it's really nice sometimes to just concentrate on a sound. The training is to notice how many times your head goes into like a rabbit hole, right? And you're going to get in the rabbit hole. It's going to take you down a rabbit hole for however many minutes. And then you notice that you're in the rabbit hole and then you pull yourself back into the present moment. And so that's the training. That's like the weightlifting that you're doing so that when you're in your life and you have those super crazy days and your brain is just like, you can sit there and be like, oh, thinking. That's not who I am. And you can pull yourself back into the present moment in your real life.
And that makes sense. So Anissa kind of said, I'm that person who's like, all right, in order to meditate, I need to go into some quiet, dark room and sit there and, you know, think about my breathing and stuff, which completely does not work for me right. because then I start thinking about the laundry or whatever. So Anissa was telling me it's about being in the present moment. It's about being right there in that mm-hmm. spot, in that space. And in fact, one of our good friends, Megan, mm-hmm. she posted that when she prepares the lavender towels for our yoga classes, mm-hmm. like she sits at her sink, maybe in her laundry room, and she's preparing these cold lavender towels, mm-hmm. just the repetitive motion of, and then being there in that space, is a sort of meditation for her.
Yeah.
As you know, just the and just the feeling and, the whole positive wholeness of what she's doing. And so that speaks to me a lot. What you just said speaks to me a lot mm-hmm. more than, and granted, I haven't done a whole lot of research on how to teach myself how to meditate. You know, I just am like going from what you see in the movies and whatnot, but right. it's helped
You're
me a lot.
There like, humana,
yeah.
Humana,
yeah. Humana, humana, humana. And, so I've actually started meditating. I'm getting better at it. I mean, I'm trying to be more consistent with it. And I do feel like I do have meditative moments during the day where I do bring myself back and I can calm mm-hmm. the chaos. And I don't know, and maybe I'm just making an excuse for myself that I think sometimes teaching frenetic, frantic, high intensity interval classes and constantly running around and constantly, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't, my behavior is such that it's got to always be fast paced and that I tell myself I can't do yoga unless it's 20 minutes because it's just too long for me. But
you
I don't give myself,
do
yeah, and I don't, but I don't give myself a chance to even,
yeah.
you know, and so that's one of the things that I would love to do. There's never been, I don't think I've ever heard anybody say yoga, hated it, ruined my life. Mm. I've never heard that, you know?
Yeah. CrossFit, yeah. hated it, ruined my life. Ooh, I've heard that one.
You know, everybody that I've talked to is like, it's changed my life, yeah. you know? And, yeah. And I think this is so funny because, you know, when you were younger, when I was like in my 20s and 30s, and I knew folks that were doing that were meditating in yoga, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to get to that when I'm like in my 50s, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think sometimes there's that mentality when it's not that at all.
Right.
No.
Not
well, and
at
I
all.
Think that's the old mentality, mm-hmm. right? I mean, now they're teaching yoga in schools and,
oh,
you know.
Athletes?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and there's so many different types of yoga, right? Like, so, I mean, there are more vigorous types of yoga. You could start with a vigorous type mm-hmm. of yoga. I mean, I started out with Bikram, you know, the hot mm-hmm. 105 degree, you know, I was an athlete, like a hardcore athlete before I came to yoga. And so that was my gateway yoga, mm-hmm. you know, and I now don't subscribe to hot yoga, but for me, it was really
right.
a beautiful way to come in. And then I found more hatha based yoga. And I was like, oh, there's like so many layers to this, mm-hmm. you know? So, I mean, you could try something that's a little more vigorous. You could also try Kundalini. Have you ever?
Mm-mm.
No. So Kundalini is a lot of kriyas. So you're doing, I mean, you've probably seen people dressed in all white mm-hmm. and, you know, a lot of people do Kundalini now, and it's more energetic based. So you're doing kriyas with your body like over and over again for maybe like 3 minutes. You're doing the same thing and you're breathing in and out, in and out, in and out. Mm-hmm. But it helps clear the body of some of the patterns, just like yoga does, yeah. like the hatha yoga. But I mean, there's many different types.
Yeah,
you know?
We've got the gym that we
I like
work
that
at.
Restorative. I love the yin,
yeah.
where
yeah.
you hold the stuff, because then I don't have to look around going, I have no idea what a sun salutation is. Let me look, and then I get so pissed,
yeah,
because I'm spending the whole class looking at what everybody else is doing. I'm like, can I just sit? Just tell
yeah,
me what I
totally.
Need, where I need to put my body,
yeah.
and then I can relax. But otherwise, I feel so.
Inadequate.
I feel so bad at it.
Yeah.
Well, and we've got this new class at Lifetime called Fire, which is yoga with intense intervals, mm-hmm. like little cardio intervals that are put in between the yoga poses. But I feel like I need, I don't want yoga to be like that for me.
Yeah,
I want yoga to be
yoga.
Yeah. I'd like, you know, I'm the same way because I don't do yoga. I need to be in a root class, or I need to be in a class that allows me to hold the pose so I can get used to it right. and get balanced and feel it and, you know, get my body used to it. That whole frenetic move from here and down here and do this and do that. I'm not ready for that yet. Now, maybe one day, but not yet.
Well, and yoga is so, I mean, it's just like if, you know, when you go get a therapist, you know, and you go and it's almost like you have to interview the therapist. You have to go see the therapist for a couple sessions and then you're like, eh, not this person. So you go to the next one. That's how it is in yoga too. I feel like it's like you find your teacher, you find the person who really speaks to you and you just keep trying until you find someone there. You're just like, yeah, this is it, you know, and you might be with that teacher for a few months. You might be with that teacher for several years. And then one day you're like, yeah, this isn't my teacher anymore. And you go to the next teacher, you know, that, that resonates with you, that feels like, you know, but like it's all, and it's kind of like the coaching thing. It's like you have to take responsibility for it. And you have to keep trying. I can't, you know, like some people will go take one class and be like, I hate it. I can't do yoga. And I'm like, keep trying until you find the right teacher or the right class.
So the one thing that I'm super interested and curious about with you is I know that you're you do yoga retreats and you have one coming up in Chile, right? So like, how do you have, maybe this is a strange question to ask about this, but first of all, I want to know a little bit about some of the things that you do while you're on your retreat. I want to know a little bit about the divine woman circles that you have. Cause I want to know a little bit about what does that mean? Divine woman. And also like, how do you have the courage to like, I so want to do a retreat, but I'm petrified to even put myself out there because, like, nobody will come. Or why would anybody want
to
come?
Coming to retreat, you're saying.
Like, what would I do with? So what do you do? And I know you've done some, like, the circles that you do up in the mountains, the divine healing. Like, I got to go to one of those things.
Brian.
It's, like, so my jam. But I just, you know, like, how do you, how did you start that?
Okay, so the way I started... when I got certified, let's see, I went through my teacher training in 2009. Sorry, I'm not very good with this little microphone thing. In 2009, I got is when I got certified. And I did my first retreat in 2012. And I had been teaching for 3 years, and I had quite a following of students. And at that time, I actually teamed up with a business partner, and we led several retreats together. We started a retreat company and led several retreats together. So I think we did maybe 7 or 8 together. And so it's when you have a partner, it can be really supportive, and it was in certain ways. And so that it was helpful to have someone to like help kind of shoulder it with me, you know. So like the people that had been coming to my classes were like, yeah, I want to come on retreat with you, because they had felt after my classes they enjoyed it. And so I was in business partnership with this woman for, let's see, 2012. We broke up. We ended our partnership in 2015, and she continued on with that. And then I led 3 retreats on my own. And these are the ones you're talking about that were up in the mountain. These were the Divine Woman retreats. And I did them up in Boone, North Carolina, at the Art of Living Retreat Center. Have you ever been there?
No, but I've heard of it.
It's so beautiful.
Boone is beautiful.
Oh, it's so, I mean, it's right on the top of a mountain and... and it's actually the place that the Art of Living Retreat Center is on is where the TM organization used to be. Maharishi found that place. And then, I mean, there's a whole history to it. TM abandoned it, and many years later, Art of Living took over. But so that was there. And I will get to answer your question that you're talking about, but just kind of giving you a little, you know. So I did those 3. And then after the second one I did up there, I was like, you know, there were many people from Atlanta that were coming as well as other places. And I was like, I want to, people were like wanting to continue on. So I started my Divine Women Circles, which was, we would meet once a month, on a Tuesday night. I would have people sign up for 6 months at a time just to kind of continue the connection and the touch point. And I did that for a couple years. I did my last one earlier this year, and I have not picked it back up. You know, as I was saying, there's a lot of stuff moving for me. But so that's kind of like the trajectory. And then now I am leading one to Chile, like you were saying, next year. And I'm doing it with 2 other women through Dirty South Yoga Festival.
I saw that.
Yes. And I'm so excited about it. I've led one to Costa Rica before, but then other than that, most of the ones were in the States. So I'm super super excited about going to Chile. So, I mean, I find people are so hungry for this these days. You know, people are hungry for adventure travel, and especially women. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, the one we're doing in Chile is open to men as well. But women, I think that's why over the last many years, it's been so, it's been such a thing. I mean, everybody's leading retreats, you know, mm-hmm. and women, especially because like women have this like wanderlust, like we want to travel, but I think at least the way I grew up, my dad was a pilot for Delta. So I traveled a lot with my family, but I also was like scared to travel alone. I mean, different places, you know, and I think that's kind of how our generation grew up. You know, I think the younger generation is less afraid of that these days. So it's like, it's just so safe for women to go in groups together, you know? And I think that's kind of how I got the confidence for it, you know? Plus I think also the confidence was from just teaching the classes, you know, and learning how to market myself. There's a lot of marketing involved. You know, it's not like you say, hey, I'm going to lead a retreat. And then, all of a sudden there's 40 people signed up for it. You know, there's actually a lot of back end work involved. I mean, you have to, of course, negotiate with the place. You have to get the rate however you want. You have to figure out all the budget for it, you know, and then you have to start the marketing like push, which is extensive, you know.
But there's your first part of life coming into your second, right? Because you had all that corporate background in that, which I'm sure helps with doing that.
And that's what interests me, because so why aren't you in advertising anymore?
You know,
why are you doing this now?
Okay. I want to try to tell you in a very condensed version. I've been married and divorced twice. Mm-hmm. And the first time I got divorced, I think was kind of like my gateway into waking up, mm-hmm. right? Like, because nobody, like my family, they didn't get divorced. Like I grew up Catholic. It wasn't, you know, like it was a thing. And so like you know what this is like, just to even just, to go there, like I had to break through a lot of my own belief systems and the belief systems I inhaled from my family and stuff like that. And so that was kind of like my first step. And then my second divorce was my second step. And then I consider leaving corporate my third step. Mm-hmm. And I think those two things really helped me get up the nerve to be able to leave corporate. And I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to do. You know, I was like, okay, well, you know, you finish college and you get a job. And I mean, I did tell my dad when I was about to graduate that I wanted to be a waitress for a few years and just travel around the United States. And he was like, you know, I was like, but it would just be fun, you know? And he was like, no, you're getting a job.
You're an adult now.
Exactly. So, yeah. And so I got a job, you know, and I mean, thank goodness I needed to be grounded in reality, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit. And, so everything I was doing was just, I enjoyed what I did. It was fun in advertising back. I mean, it was still when people were making deals on napkins over 3-hour lunches with margaritas and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I mean, Mad Men is real. I enjoyed it until all of a sudden I didn't, you know, mm-hmm. I just kept like climbing the ladder. I was making a lot of money by the time I finished. And then I went through yoga teacher training, and it wasn't like I was like, I'm going to be a yoga teacher or anything like that. But it just flipped my whole world on the head. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like, oh, there's something else in life. And that's where I reconnected with my spirituality, separate from religion. That's where I started to realize it's not all about, you know, this money. And I just started to question a lot of my belief systems. So I would teach yoga. I taught 6 or 7 classes right after I graduated teacher training. I taught 6 or 7 classes a week, and I was working 50 to 60 hours a week. And I just mm-hmm. noticed such a difference. Like I would teach a class and I would feel amazing, and I would go into work and I would just feel constricted and like I couldn't breathe. And so I had a 5-year plan to quit corporate, and it became a 3-year plan. It became a 2-year plan. It became a holy shit, how long can I hold on, pay off my debt, save a little money and get out. And so mm-hmm. I quit within a year. And so that was kind of how, you know, and I was like, well, I'll just teach yoga in the interim. Like you can live on a yoga teacher's salary.
Bingo.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. So, you know, I mean, the last 10 years have really been a breaking clear of so many. I mean, just like I've delved into so many different belief systems. It's not even funny, you know. Like when I first quit, I had a health crisis. Like my adrenals were shot. All my hormone levels plummeted. Like all my vitamin levels were low. I had like fatigue. Like I was having a hard time getting anything done. So I went into a little bit of debt. I couldn't sell my house because I was right after the crash. So it took me about a year to sell my house. And, you know, I mean, I really have learned what I'm made of over the last 10 years, you know, a lot of grit and a lot of courage and a lot of just intense, oh, it's not all what I thought it was, you know, like I just didn't plan in the way that I probably should have,
right.
But I mean, everything happens the way, I mean, it just happened the way it did, you
right.
know, like I've learned so much from it. So
I love that.
What do you feel like you're leaning towards? You kind of alluded to that you're in a transition.
Yeah.
What's coming up for you?
You know, it's a few different things. it's a few different things, and I'm not wanting to fully pull it out yet. You know, I feel like it's kind of in the gestation period. So if I pull it out, it might not root.
Right.
Yes.
There's a few different tracks. I just feel like I'm being pulled forward, and it doesn't mean that I'm not going to be teaching yoga or coaching or doing energy work anymore. It's just I don't think this is going to be the main thing. I think there's something pulling me forward. I feel like I want to step out into the world and make a difference in a greater way. And I don't know what that means, you know, yet. I think it means, because I was in corporate for so long, it might mean stepping back out into that in a certain way. And talking to people that aren't walking into yoga classes, because I mean, if you're walking into a yoga class or a yoga studio, I mean, there's already a certain like part of you that's kind of open to this stuff. And there's
right.
so many people, I don't think everyone needs to do yoga, but I mean, just the whole spiritual aspect to it, the whole like looking inside and trying to understand yourself aspect of it. Is what's so needed in this world. And so I feel like I'm being pulled out in some way. So
no, I love that.
Yeah.
And I like how she said she wants to give it time to root.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Damn. If I would do that.
Well,
you know?
It's like a gestation period,
yeah.
you know,
that
and you know,
absolutely.
When you share it,
yes.
sometimes when you share, not that you guys aren't amazing,
no,
but sometimes when you share it
with people,
yeah. it takes some, because it hasn't rooted yet,
right.
it takes the energy away from it and it just kind of dissipates, you know, so I need to let it kind of, you know, be in the dark in myself for a while. And then once I feel more,
I love it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Sense. And I also think too, sometimes if you bring it into the light of day too soon.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the rich soil to grow in anymore.
Yeah.
You plucked it too soon.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There's even a Shakespeare something about that.
It could be.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Like plucked it too soon. Or, you know, I mean, and this is what, like when I quit corporate, I literally I stopped watching the news. I had to like cut myself off from talking to like a big handful of people because they were all like naysayers. You can't do this. It's going to be hard, you know? And I just had to kind of isolate myself, wall myself off. Like every day, I think my mantra was, trust in the universe and the universe supports you. Trust in the universe and the universe. Like, you know, a million times a day I was saying that because I was just getting ready to jump off of a cliff, you know? And so, yeah, I think when you bring it out into the light of the day, or if you share it with people before you feel comfortable with it, then I can be very swayed by other people's opinions.
That's true, too.
You know?
You have to have the conviction of what has been gestating so that you don't get spooked by someone else's fear.
Absolutely. And I have it's so easy. I'm very sensitive to other people, other people's emotions, other people. Like I can walk into a room and just kind of feel, you know? And so it's taken me a long time to really, understand like where am I in this place, you know? And instead of completely being lost in other people. And, so anyway, yeah.
That's how Anissa does the same thing. She feels that energy that, she'll be standing in a group of people and then she can tell.
Yeah.
She's good at that.
Yeah.
It's interesting about, yoga teacher training. We have it at the gym and I actually am really interested in taking it.
You would be, that would be so amazing.
I would love to take it with Myla.
Yeah, it's Myla that's still there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you know Myla.
Okay.
She used to come to my classes a long time ago, and she actually used to date somebody that I know. Well,
and she's still teaching yoga, and she teaches
and does the Costa Rica retreat thing.
She does
too.
The retreat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we have a friend at work who, she, I'm hoping that she'll come on the podcast too and talk about her journey, but she took a year off. Mm-hmm. I can't remember exactly what the details are of it. And she may not have even told me, but she took a year off. She, from work, she had to, something was going on, but she was directed to yoga teacher training. So in that year that she was trying to, find herself and, reground herself, and sort of get her life back on track, she did YTT and it changed her life.
Yeah.
And she teaches yoga now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It Why is. Does it change everybody's life, the YTT thing?
Well, I think, I mean, everybody's doing YTT now. So mm-hmm. I think it also depends on, you know, where you get it. But I can only speak for the ones sure. that I've done, you know, like it helped me turn my focus from outside of myself to inside of myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that was happening anyway, but it gave me a language for it. It gave me, you know, like permission to do it and mm-hmm. to do it while you're in a group of people that are doing the same thing. I mean, there's power in groups, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. which is kind of going back to what you were saying about retreats and stuff like that. Like there's such a power in group consciousness. And I think we're living in a time where we need more of that, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, obviously, if you look
community
outside,
we,
you know,
not community yeah. we, me. Yeah. Yes, you know, community we.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. So, yeah.
When is your retreat in Chile?
It is March 8th through the 13th. And we're flying into Santiago. Have you guys ever been?
No.
Me neither. I'm so excited. Yeah, we're flying into Santiago. We're staying one night there in a boutique hotel, and then we're all driving down together in a nice van to Pichilemu, which is it's right in the middle of the country and it's right on the beach. It's some people have referred to it as like a Tulum before it was big. Mm-hmm. It's a very well-known surf area, but there's a lot of wineries in the region. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, you know, if you've even looked at Chile, like I'm going to stay a week after mm-hmm. and just kind of travel around, and I'm overwhelmed because there, I mean, the country itself is so long. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see ice caps if you want, you right. know, you could be on a desert, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, there's everything that you could want. So
what level of yogi do people have to be to attend?
It's all levels. You could even be a beginner. I have a friend that's thinking about coming. That's a beginner. I'm going to be teaching. Rachel and, Jessica will be teaching, and all three of us are extremely, we're more on the gentle side
right.
of, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, we can kick it up if we want, but I'm very big on offering many options for people mm-hmm. and just really working with the people that show up, you know? So we're not going to be doing super crazy tricks or anything like that, you know, like, but I mean, advanced yogis are welcome as well, right. you know? So, yeah.
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I know.
Or just maybe like, you guys should go and then you can research. You can be taking yes. notes for your retreat that
we
you
should,
guys are going to lead
we?
Together.
We definitely.
That'd be a, yes, we definitely.
Definitely
oh should.
Totally. And if you need a yeah. yoga teacher, I mean.
There you go. And Rob yeah. will totally be like, that's it. I know that all my suspicions that you are leaving me for Ellen are actually true.
Exactly.
He's like, you call her just to tell her you love her, don't you? And I said, yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, but it's not like that. He goes, are you sure? And I'm like, yes, I'm sure.
Yeah. You had to pause.
He's like, you hesitated. I'm like, well, but I love her deeply, but it's not like that.
Yeah, I
yes,
know.
Exactly.
It's the same way. I mean, we have a romance, don't we?
Yes, we do a romance. Real up, that's what we call it. It's
we
a romance.
Do.
I love it.
Is it. A romance.
Yes.
It is.
Every woman needs a romance.
Totally.
Or several romances.
Several. Yeah.
I have to say this. I haven't felt well today. A lot of it is because we had some stain put in our office and I have a terrible headache. And I feel so good after listening to you and watching
yes.
you. I just feel
Thanks.
So
good. I'm glad.
I know.
That's
I love it.
She's like a yum monster of
yeah,
energy over there.
She is a yum monster of energy. I love that. Yeah. That'll be the
she's
title
Reiki,
of this
she has Reiki too, you know.
I know. And I wish that we, yeah, that fascinates me. Mm. The two of you are weirdos.
We are.
In a
Absolutely.
Good way.
I
know.
Am embracing
just own it.
All of my freaky self, you
I
know.
Love
I mean,
it.
For a long time I wasn't, you know.
I
it's
love
like
it.
As I said in the beginning, multifaceted human mm-hmm. being. I have range.
I
and
love
multisensory.
It.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And really also the last 10 years have helped me excavate and start to reintegrate a lot of my shadow material, you know.
The way you two talk is so crazy, don't you think, Brian? Like, I'm just sitting over here going, yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I inhale what my family,
oh, I love that shit.
Okay, well, maybe I should give it more, like, you know, more concrete. Like, you know,
No, please don't.
Because I don't want it to be like I'm totally not spiritually bypassing.
No, right?
I love it.
It's refreshing and it's such a great, you're using your words, you know, as they say to writers, use your words. I love it.
Yeah.
You feel good?
I do.
I'm so happy you came in.
This was really exciting because we don't have a backstory, and that's always so nice to just have a breath. You're a breath of fresh
and
air.
Just your perspective on things, and I loved it.
And we'd love to have you come back.
Yes,
for sure.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'd love for you. You know what? I'd love for them to
bring some of her tribe.
To talk a little bit more about Reiki and some of that stuff. Yeah.
We haven't had an energy podcast yet. Maybe that would be.
And it freaks people out.
I know.
Yeah.
She freaks people out at work.
I do.
You know, it's so funny. I'm always constantly saying things to people like, you know, when you walk into a room and you can tell someone's had a fight in the room before, you're sensing energy. It's really simple. It's not like, you know, it doesn't have to be all woo-woo. I mean, you know, like when we're getting like CAT scans and stuff, it's all based off of energy. Like we're, you know, we're getting energy work on us all the time. And, you know, it's like.
And you know, the whole signals that travel between the satellites and your cell phone, that's all energy.
It's all energy.
Yes. Yep.
The radio.
So, that's right.
Yeah. So, but
Dot, dot, dot.
Continued.
All right. You can hear Anissa and Ellen on multiple platforms. You can visit ATL. I get this every ATLPN.com, AtlantaPodcastNetwork.com, and on Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, and now Spotify.
And by the time this airs, Pandora, baby.
I know.
Just search for ATL Podcast Network or Anissa and Ellen Raw to find our show. And Natalie is her handle on social media, the best place to find you.
Laughing Heart Healing. On Instagram. You can also find me Laughing Heart Healing on Facebook and my website, laughinghearthealing.com.
I love it.
Yep. All right. Awesome.
Ellen Nickel.
Oh God. Anissa Amison. Whatever.
Atlanta Podcast Network.
I'm so done saying
ATL
what my
podcast network.
Just over it.
Like, doesn't everyone just know who I am?
I mean, really. I'm the Anissa. I'm the Anissa and Ellen
Raw.
Yeah. That's who I am.
All right, peace out, yo.
Out.